HiBridge, a division of Recorded Books, presents Take Control of Your Depression, Strategies to Help You Feel Better Now, by Susan J. Noonan. Foreword by Gerald F. Rosenbaum and Timothy J. Peterson. Read by Meredith Mitchell. Note: the information in this book should by no means be considered a substitute for the advice of qualified medical professionals. Mental diseases and disorders have a wide range of symptoms and clinical presentations. You should always consult qualified medical professionals for the diagnosis and treatment of mental diseases and disorders. All efforts have been made to ensure the accuracy of the information contained in this book as of the date of publication. The author and the publisher expressly disclaim responsibility for any adverse outcomes arising from the use or application of the information contained herein. If you are thinking about suicide, you should immediately contact your healthcare provider, go to the nearest emergency department, or call 911. Forward. Despite many recent advances in options for assessment and treatment, depression remains a significant worldwide health problem. In the United States alone, up to 15% of individuals will suffer from depression at some point in their lifetime. Depression is now viewed as most often a recurrent illness, which requires lifelong management strategies. The toll that depression exacts is massive, not only for the suffering individual, but also for friends and family members. Many individuals diagnosed with depression are unable to work for periods of time, resulting in associated loss of productivity and disability. Rates of response to first-line treatments, while improved, remain unsatisfyingly low. Often, a depressed individual requires a series of treatments before arriving at an acceptable therapeutic outcome. With the recent development of novel, cutting-edge interventions, the landscape of treatment options has become more complex. There are innovative therapeutics and novel targets on the horizon, but as yet a long-term aspiration, there is not personalized treatment selection soon to be available. Thus, treatment will continue to require persistence and creativity on a patient-by-patient basis until relief is attained. Susan J. Noonan, in this outstanding updated edition of her 2013 book, Managing Your Depression, tackles the challenge of providing to the general public a volume that provides a comprehensive how-to guide for understanding and managing depression. Most impressive is the breadth of topics covered and pragmatic suggestions that will help engender hope that depression is a treatable illness. Among topics covered include behavioral strategies that are a core component of an overall depression treatment plan, cognitive strategies that are effective in talking back to negative thoughts, tips for accessing and maintaining an effective treatment team, effective ways to interact with loved ones during an episode of depression, and relapse prevention strategies. Dr. Noonan's journey has been an inspiration to us at the Massachusetts General Hospital Department of Psychiatry. She has tirelessly proceeded through numerous psychosocial and medication treatments and has taught us much about perseverance, thinking outside the box, and the importance of not accepting anything short of becoming well. This volume, along with her other published works and speaking engagements, offers information and guidance that undoubtedly will help those suffering with depression. Gerald F. Rosenbaum, M.D., Chief of Psychiatry, Massachusetts General Hospital. Stanley Cobb, Professor of Psychiatry, Harvard Medical School. Timothy J. Peterson, Ph.D., Clinical Psychologist, Massachusetts General Hospital. Assistant Professor of Psychiatry, Harvard Medical School. Introduction. The time you are feeling the worst is not the time to give up. Andrew A. Nierenberg. Some call it the blues, or a storm in their head. William Styron called it darkness visible. Whatever the description, depression is a disorder of the mind and body that affects approximately 15% of the population at some point in their lives. Mood disorders such as major depression and bipolar disorder are conditions of the brain that involve a disturbance in one's mood or frame of mind. These conditions affect a person's thoughts, feelings, behaviors, relationships, activities, interests, and other aspects of life. Mood disorders can be quite overwhelming. The symptoms of major depression and bipolar disorder are often remitting and relapsing. This means that the symptoms come and go over time. They may improve or go away and then return at some later time. The pattern is unique for each person and difficult to predict. You may experience symptoms for a long time, just as people who have diabetes or high blood pressure often do. The important thing to remember is that mood disorders are treatable and that you can learn to manage yours and thrive. One of the most common symptoms of major depression and bipolar disorder is difficulty with concentration and focus. In Styron's book, he eloquently described a state of confusion, failure of mental focus, lapse of memory, and muddied thought processes, familiar to many who have depression. Experiencing these symptoms may make it challenging for you to read, pay attention to a conversation or TV show, or remember simple things. Although advice on how to manage a mood disorder can be found in many textbooks, self-help books, and websites, a person who has depression may find some of these resources difficult to follow and absorb. Books and articles with long, involved text can be overwhelming to a person in the midst of depression. These difficulties are symptoms of the disease, not indications of your intelligence. Because of these symptoms, learning to manage depression requires a different approach. So, I carefully targeted the problems of concentration and focus in writing this book. It was designed to focus on practical, day-to-day ways to manage your illness. The suggestions presented are things you can do on your own, in addition to receiving professional health care or mental health services. My goal is to provide you with core information that is brief and to the point. The basics of managing your depression or bipolar disorder are broken down into several sections, with skill sets and exercises you can do one at a time. My perspective in writing is that of a physician who has treated many patients and who also has personal experience living with the illness. Having been in the depths of a mood disorder, I understand what information is most helpful to manage the illness and how it is best received. I gathered the information presented here over time from various educational resources, psychoeducational programs, seminars, expert healthcare providers, and personal patient experience. If you suffer from mood disorders, you can use this book in two main ways. One, as an educational source to better understand and manage your illness. You need to have specific knowledge and skills to respond to an illness like depression so that you can avoid its worsening, be able to recover, and prevent recurrences. Managing your mood disorder in an informed way can help you function better and stay well. People who participate actively in their own care and who work to manage their mood disorder have a better chance of recovery and of staying well. Two, as a workbook, a set of skills and exercises to use along with input, advice, and treatment from your therapist and treatment team. This book is not intended to replace your treatment professionals. I advise you to go slowly. Review one section at a time and keep in mind that you may need to review it more than once. People who have depression experience various clinical signs and symptoms in a pattern that is unique to each of them. Look for the material that applies to your own experiences over time. You may find some of the exercises to be starting points for discussions in your therapy sessions. Work with your therapist to determine the most helpful educational and exercise tools for you. It's worth repeating. People who participate actively in their care have a better chance of recovery and of staying well. Who is this book written for? Everybody and anybody who has a mood disorder. Many of the recommendations, especially the basics of mental health, see Chapter 1, are likely to be helpful even if you don't have a mental health condition. But these basics are particularly beneficial to those who do have an illness. The ideas are simple, practical ways to take control of your health. You don't need fancy resources to get adequate sleep, nutrition, and daily physical exercise, like walking around the block, or to add a structure and routine to your day. These steps are considered part of your self-management of the illness, useful strategies in addition to whatever professional mental health therapy is available to you. And they're backed by science. We don't all live in areas close to mental health treatment centers. Some of us who do may not know how to gain access to the resources we need or are reluctant to go for professional treatment. The steps in my book will help you lay the foundation to build a healthy emotional state. Some of you who read this book may find that a few of the ideas feel familiar to you. You might think, yeah, so what? Already heard that. For others, these may be brand new concepts. In either case, I present the ideas to you because knowing that something is good for you is not the same as doing it. There's a difference between intellectually knowing something and being able to take the steps when depressed to do that same thing. Taking action is the hard part and our greatest challenge. One way to help yourself get motivated and actually do something is to understand the reasons behind it. That's where this book becomes helpful to you. I offer suggestions backed by the medical evidence as reported in sound scientific studies, filtered by knowing what has been helpful to me and others based on real personal experience. I begin in Chapter 1 with the mental health basics, the essential things we all need to do daily to maintain emotional health and stability. The basic steps include maintaining a regular pattern of sleep, diet, exercise, medications, and social contacts. Keeping a routine and structure to your day, and avoiding isolation. These fundamental actions can be especially challenging when you are managing a mood disorder, because the symptoms of depression often interfere with your ability to do them. In the second chapter, I give an overview of the mood disorders called major depression and bipolar disorder. This chapter also includes a brief discussion of depression in women, men, adolescents, the elderly, and those who have chronic illness or cancer, as well as information about depression and anxiety, the stigma of mood disorders, and fatigue and depression. There is a comprehensive table of the real-life symptoms of major depression and bipolar disorder, as well as a daily mood chart to track your symptoms. Next, Chapter 3 discusses the common obstacles in depression that often trip us up. These include being consumed by depression, having a fear of recovery, and rumination. Having an awareness and understanding of these potential barriers to recovery is an important step in achieving wellness. Chapter 4 presents the concept of defining your baseline. Your baseline is your healthy inner self, something that appears to be lost during severe depression, even if only temporarily. In managing depression, you have to find a way to stay connected to your baseline healthy person, your inner sense of yourself. This baseline can be extraordinarily helpful to draw on during your recovery. This chapter also includes exercises to help you identify and define your baseline self. Chapter 5 begins with an overview of treatment for mood disorders, including talk therapy, medications, and inpatient care. It addresses the questions, what do I do if I'm reluctant to seek treatment? And what if I can't afford treatment? Chapter 5 continues with a discussion of your relationship with your therapist, followed by what you need to know to manage your depression or bipolar disorder. It is important to use both professional treatment and self-management techniques to achieve the best recovery from your illness. Managing depression means learning about the illness and its symptoms, as well as developing effective strategies to respond to your symptoms. It requires that you monitor your symptoms, challenge negative thoughts, use problem-solving techniques, make adjustments, and avoid negative behaviors. The concept of wellness and well-being is addressed in Chapter 6, What is the Goal? Here, I present the idea that it is not enough to be free of mood disorder symptoms. The goal is to be well. Wellness is not the absence of symptoms, but the presence of several life skills, as described by psychologist C.D. Riff, which I review for you in this chapter. It is possible for someone who has depression to experience wellness. In Chapter 7, you will find an overview of relapse prevention. Relapse prevention is an effective daily approach to help you minimize the chance of a relapse, return of symptoms, and to help you stay well. This chapter also provides ways to identify your depression warning signs and triggers, as well as an action plan for relapse prevention to use when an important change in your emotional health happens. It concludes with tips on what to do if you feel suicidal. Chapter 8 is a presentation of cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, a specific type of talk therapy that addresses the connection between your thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. CBT is particularly useful in depression when your thoughts are distorted, negative, and causing you distress. This form of therapy helps to identify and change distorted thinking patterns, inaccurate beliefs, and unhelpful behaviors that are common in depression. Included in this chapter are sample CBT exercises for you to use to challenge and change dysfunctional thinking patterns. I explore in Chapter 9 some life strategies to get you through the tough times. These skills often fade during depression, so you may need to review and polish up on them. This chapter covers coping and stress, mindfulness, distress tolerance, communication skills, talking with your doctor, and tips you can share with your families and friends. In Chapter 10, I discuss strategies for dealing with family and friends, which can often be stressful and affect your illness. The advice applies to a wide range of people, from those in your closest circle to casual acquaintances or your supervisor at work. Here, you will find ideas on when and how to disclose your illness, as well as tips on managing important relationships. Following that is a section on how to survive the holidays with difficult family members. Chapter 11 describes how it looks and feels to manage your depression by incorporating the recommendations throughout this book into your daily life. Chapter 12 is a collection of thoughtful advice and resources for your review, including a section on technology and mental illness, reliable and recommended internet sites, and books of interest. Then check out the list of books and websites written by others who have learned to cope with and manage their illness. Next is a concluding chapter, which is rounded out by an appendix of medications used in mood and sleep disorders, and a glossary of important terms used in the book. 1. Mental Health Basics. Action Precedes Motivation. Robert J. McCain. The Basic Steps. The basics of mental health are the essential actions we all need to engage in every day to maintain emotional health and stability. They are especially important when you are trying to manage a mood disorder. The basic steps include maintaining a regular pattern of sleep, a healthy diet, and regular physical exercise, taking prescribed medications, keeping up with social contacts and avoiding isolation, and having a routine and structure to your day. The steps, summarized in Box 1.1, are your foundation for a healthy emotional life. On this foundation, you will build the components of your treatment plan. These may feel like common sense recommendations that you've heard before, but they are essential to controlling your symptoms. Controlling your symptoms in this way improves the quality of your life. When you follow these steps regularly, you decrease your vulnerability to fluctuations or changes in your mood disorder symptoms. Taking care of your overall self is important to your general health and to preserving your emotional balance and strength. It also boosts your resilience. This helps you to recover more quickly from setbacks or episodes of depression if they do occur. Following these fundamental steps can be especially challenging when you are struggling to manage a mood disorder, because the symptoms of depression often interfere with your ability to actually do the steps. As an example, the symptoms of fatigue, poor appetite, and lack of interest can make it difficult to do the grocery shopping and cooking necessary to follow a healthy diet. You'll learn more about these tips in this and the following chapters. Don't wait until you feel like doing something to start. Just do it as best as you can now, and the motivation for doing it will follow. Many people with depression have found that to be so. Keep trying despite the difficulty, and give yourself credit for the effort. Box 1.1, The Basics of Mental Health. Treat any physical illness. Sleep. Aim for 7 to 8 hours of sleep each night. Keep a regular sleep routine. Follow sleep hygiene principles to promote restorative, restful sleep. Use a sleep diary to track sleep patterns. Maintain a healthy diet and nutrition. Eat balanced, healthy meals regularly, 3 times a day. Do not use alcohol, street drugs, or excessive caffeine. Medication. Take all medications as prescribed, even if you are feeling better. Discuss with your physician all over-the-counter medications, herbs, and other supplements you take. Exercise regularly, as able. Balance cardiovascular, stretching, and strengthening activities. maintain regular social contacts and connections with others. Avoid isolation. Follow a daily routine and structure your time. Sleep and depression. Sleep problems, including insomnia, often occur during an episode of major depression or bipolar disorder. When depressed, you may sleep a lot but still feel tired. You may sleep too little or have interrupted sleep with frequent awakenings during the night. You may have trouble falling asleep, or you may wake up too early. The quality of your sleep may be affected so that you don't feel rested or restored the next day. Without enough sleep, you may become irritable and have difficulty concentrating and doing small tasks. In contrast, in bipolar disorder with mania or hypomania, you may feel that you don't need very much sleep at all, that you are energized and awake during normal sleep times. Strategies to help you follow a healthy diet. Strategy: plan for what you have to do. Examples: shop at a time of day when you have more energy. Ask a friend to help you with the groceries. Strategy: break down tasks of daily life into small steps. Examples: follow simple recipes, 5 ingredients or fewer. Write down your grocery list, meal by meal. Only buy the items you need or use frequently. Strategy: pace yourself. Examples: cook healthy foods in large batches on days you have more energy. Freeze some for later meals when you may be too fatigued to cook. Why does sleep matter to your mental health? Sound sleep optimizes brain function and has a positive effect on your mood disorder. A change in the amount or quality of sleep will affect your illness. For example, periods of insufficient or poor quality sleep can worsen your depression or bring on your bipolar illness. A consistent period of getting a good night's sleep can help improve your mood. Why does sleep matter to your physical health? Prolonged insomnia, especially when sleeping fewer than 6 hours per night, is thought to be associated with an increased risk of heart disease, high blood pressure, and diabetes. If you can improve your sleep quality and quantity, these general physical conditions are potentially preventable. This is why it's important to get control of your sleep. Changes in your sleep may or may not be fully under your control. They may be related to a physical condition such as sleep apnea or extreme stress. Sleep difficulties may be warning signs or symptoms of your worsening mood disorder, which you and your treatment team can recognize and address. Sleep disruption may also be related to environmental conditions, such as noise level, excess light, or extremes in room temperature. The good news is that you can control some things to help yourself achieve a good night's sleep. Recommended treatment for long-standing insomnia includes 2 main approaches: cognitive behavioral therapy and sedating medication. Cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia, CBTI, a type of talk therapy, is considered the first-line treatment for sleep problems. It addresses the dysfunctional thoughts, beliefs, and behaviors about sleep that contribute to a persistent sleep problem. CBTI includes sleep restriction, cognitive therapy to restore and maintain reasonable expectations about sleep, relaxation therapy, and sleep hygiene. Sleep hygiene helps to reduce behaviors that interfere with sleep or increase your excitability or stimulation around bedtime. The appendix provides a brief listing of common drugs that might be used for sleep and other mental health problems. Sleep hygiene. Sleep hygiene refers to the personal habits and environmental home conditions that affect your sleep. Good sleep habits can help improve your sleep, which in turn will help improve your mood. So it is important to maintain good sleep habits and a consistent sleeping and waking pattern in a bedroom environment that favors sound sleep. Sleep hygiene recommendations adapted from the American Academy of Sleep Medicine are listed in Box 1.2. One of the essential steps in managing your mood disorder is to follow these recommendations as best as you can. Speak with your doctor if you are still having sleep problems after practicing good sleep hygiene. You might now be wondering, what is enough sleep for me? The amount of sleep required by a person depends in part on age. It varies from infancy through childhood to older age. The average amount of sleep required by healthy adults is 7 to 8 hours per night. Enough sleep is the amount that makes you feel physically and mentally rested, sharp, not irritable, and able to concentrate, focus, and correctly do small motor tasks. Box 1.2, Sleep Hygiene. Recommendations to improve your sleep. Keep the same bedtime and wake-up time every day, including weekends. Set an alarm clock if necessary. Get up and out of bed at the same time, even if you've had a bad night's sleep. Avoid napping during the day. Develop a relaxing sleep ritual before bedtime. Create downtime in the last 2 hours before going to bed and avoid overstimulation, such as family arguments, excess noise, vigorous activity, or violent TV shows or video games. Limit exposure to bright light in the evenings. Turn off all electronic devices at least 30 minutes before bedtime, including smartphones, tablets, and computers. Try going to bed only when you are sleepy. Avoid watching the clock. Turn the clock away from you. Avoid lying in bed unable to fall asleep and feeling frustrated. If you are not asleep after 20 to 30 minutes, get out of bed. Relax and distract your mind with a quiet activity in another room, music, reading, then return to bed when you are sleepy. Relaxation exercises before bedtime may be helpful. Examples include progressive muscle relaxation, deep breathing, guided imagery, yoga, and meditation. Designate a specific worry time earlier in the day or evening to sort out problems you may have. Writing down reminders for the next day is a good way to clear your mind before bed. Use your bed and bedroom only for sleep, sex, or occasional illness. Eliminate non-sleep activities in bed, using another room for reading, watching TV, working, and eating. Limit how much caffeine you have during the day and avoid its use after 12 noon. Note that coffee, tea, colas, cocoa, chocolate, and some medications contain caffeine. Avoid or limit the use of nicotine, tobacco, and alcohol during the day and avoid their use within 4 to 6 hours of bedtime. Avoid large meals before bedtime, but don't go to bed hungry. If needed, have a light snack. Exercise regularly. Avoid strenuous exercise within 4 to 6 hours of bedtime. Create a bedroom environment that favors sound sleep. A comfortable bed in a dark, quiet room is recommended. Minimize light, noise, and extremes in room temperature, hot or cold, in the bedroom. Room darkening shades, curtains, earplugs, or a sound machine may be helpful. Speak with your physician if you are having continued difficulty with sleep, including falling asleep, staying asleep, and early or frequent awakenings. Source: adapted in part from the American Academy of Sleep Medicine, Healthy Sleep Habits, updated February 9, 2017. sleepeducation.org/essentials-in-sleep/healthy-sleep-habits. How do you know how much sleep you are really getting and what your sleep patterns are? Most people tend to underestimate the amount of sleep they had. One way to know is to keep track of your sleep for several weeks with a sleep diary. A sleep diary is a chart where you record your bedtime, how long it took to get to sleep, the number of times you woke up during the night, how long you stayed awake, duration of awakening, the time you are finally awake and out of bed in the morning. Fill it out first thing in the morning for several weeks, and then share it with your doctor or doctors. Keeping a sleep diary helps you and your treatment team understand your sleep patterns. It is used to track your progress and response to therapy, and it provides valuable information used in making treatment decisions. It also helps you to stick with good sleep hygiene habits. Diet and nutrition. You have probably heard that it's important to eat a nutritious and varied diet to keep your body and vital organs working properly. Did you know that this is also true for your brain? Food is the fuel that keeps your body and your brain functioning optimally. This includes managing your emotions and mood disorder. If you eat healthy food on a regular schedule, you provide continuous fuel to your body and brain. Feed your body, feed your brain. When you stray from a healthy, regular diet, you become vulnerable to mood changes. You may become irritable and fatigued, and your brain may not function very well. If you skip meals or eat in response to emotional cues, you tend to overeat when you do not need to, and this affects your mood state. Here's how it works. When you eat starchy or sweet foods called carbohydrates or alcohol.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?